Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Jesus, nós glorificamos o teu nome, mais este dia na tua presença, pela oportunidade que nos dás de servirmos, de sermos instrumentos na tua mão. Abençoa este programa, Senhor, com o teu Espírito Santo, que possa guiar-nos em toda a verdade e que todo o teu povo que estiver ouvindo ou ouvir mais tarde este programa possa sair acrescentado da tua graça, possa encontrar a verdade que o libertará tudo aquilo que o adversário e os seus anjos têm feito sobre a humanidade, para impedi-los de conhecer a plenitude da tua graça, Senhor. Tu determinaste através da vida, da morte e da ressurreição do teu Filho Yeshua, Jesus, na cruz do Calvário. Deus, o Pai, nos abençoe a todos, em nome de Jesus. Amém. Amados irmãos, agradecemos uma vez mais a vossa presença. Agradecemos todos aqueles que têm se disponibilizado a ouvir nos arquivos e em direto este programa. Estamos trazendo hoje um programa diferente, com um convidado muito particular que faz parte dos guerreiros que têm-se alistado neste bom combate dos últimos tempos para libertar os cativos da falsa religiosidade que se tem instalado no meio do povo de Deus. Estamos falando do Dr. Danny Morano, que também tem um programa de rádio chamado, em inglês, Let's Talk, God is Not Religious. Vamos falar, Deus não é religioso, e que procura precisamente fazer a mesma coisa. Levar-nos mais adiante naquilo que é a verdadeira comunhão com o Espírito Santo, que Deus tão carinhosamente nos concedeu através da vida de Jesus. É um irmão muito querido que está fazendo na América aquilo que nós estamos fazendo aqui na Europa, tentando libertar as vidas de tudo aquilo que o inimigo plantou no meio do mundo cristão, para impedir o povo de Deus de se relacionar diretamente, verdadeiramente, numa comunhão saudável com o Espírito do nosso Pai. Então, deixe-se ficar, nós iremos tentar transmitir este programa em duas línguas, não sei se vou conseguir, porque se é muito o fluxo do programa, mas irei certamente procurar transmitir aquilo que o irmão também vai falar na nossa língua. Ore por nós, porque não é fácil combater estas hostes das trevas que se têm instalado, que lutam incessantemente para não perderem as almas que já durante tanto tempo têm clausurado em meias verdades compostas com meias mentiras que impedem o povo de Deus de desfrutar a sua herança em Cristo aqui, nesta vida. Que Deus nos abençoe a todos. Estaremos dando as boas-vindas aos nossos irmãos em inglês também, que já estão no chat room, que também nos estão ouvindo noutros pontos deste planeta, e que todos juntos possamos sair edificados. Iremos certamente sair acrescentados com esta proposta de Deus de uma nova reforma no corpo de Cristo. E todos aqueles que têm ouvidos para ouvir a voz do Espírito Santo, que ouçam, que digam, eis-me aqui, Senhor. Que Deus vos abençoe, em nome de Jesus. Amém. Brothers and sisters, thank you once again for your presence, my fellow brothers in arms. Thank you for your presence on chat room. Thank you for listening later on the archive. Thank you for just listening to the show. Today we have a special guest, a very, very dear brother of us, that is proclaiming the truth in the lands of America. He is doing the same things that we are doing here in Europe, trying to reach the Europeans, trying to reach the South American people. He is doing the same in the lands of America. His name is Danny Morano, and he was rescued from God. He was taken from this system, this false religious system, with the hands of God, to learn what is the real inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We hear a lot of people talking about scriptures being inspired by the Holy Spirit, scriptures that are not inspired, and they use these terms according to their own interests. But today we are talking about people that are inspired and guided and full of the Holy Spirit for the love of the truth. Father Danny has already been in Hagman and Hagman shows, has already been in other larger platforms, but he accepts our invitation to be with us because he knows that we are fighting on the same side. We will be talking about a new concept that is raising amongst the body of Christ. It's called the New Reformation. We will go deep on this concept tonight or today. And I want to emphasize something here. If you're trying to find another movement of larger multitudes, you will not find that here. We are soldiers of a remnant of lovers of truth in a world that is being conducted to darkness, seducing people with half lies, half truths that stop the grace of God, that diminish the role of the Jewish Savior called Yahushua, in our language, Jesus the Christ, to replace this grace with another thing that convinces people that they are accepted to God, not following the instruction that they received and they were written for us on the Bible by his apostles of Jesus Christ, by replacing with some commandments, some good ideas of men inspired by another spirit. So if you are trying to find here a large number of people, you will not find that. You will find some gold pepper that can guide you further to the truth, that can free you from the deceptions that were planted by this system and that we have inheritance from our ancestors. People that knew the truth, but they were forced or they chose to plant some tear on the word of Yahushua just to please and not be persecuted by the authorities of this world. And this is the work of our enemy, the fallen angels, the army of Satan, that they don't mind that we talk about a God, since that we don't give him all the honor and we don't obey him as he has ordered, as he has given the example of life. So you will be hearing testimonies from me, from Dr. Morano, about our own lives that will make you think about your own life, that will make you examine your life. And there are not a lot of people that are willing to do this. A lot of people has built their own faith, their own lives above the half-lives of the system. And when it comes to that time that they must change, put in risk all the comfort zones they have built, they are like the rich man. This makes them feel sad and they turn away from the truth. So you better think yourself, do I really want to hear this? Or I prefer to stay on my comfort zone and see what I get from this at the end. I can only say that this is the time that God has chosen to make a separation of all the called ones and the chosen ones. Those that are willing to pay the price, because it's not free. It's from the grace of God that we have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ, to know our real God, the personification of God in the earth. It is by the grace. Without that grace, we would never find him. But we have a role on this decision. We have a role to decide every day of our lives to follow him or to be deceived, seducted by other spirits. So we will be talking about heavy stuff, but this will give you an opportunity to reform yourself. This is the new Reformation. The new Reformation is being conducted silently by the Holy Spirit on this day. Lots of people talk about revivals, lots of noise happening. But as Israel was awaiting for another kind of Savior when Jesus came, and they did not recognize him on the cross, a lot of people are not recognizing the movement, the new Reformation of the Holy Spirit that is coming. They are being distracted by the theaters of war that Satan and his angels are producing, the noise that the enemy is producing on the world. And they are being distracted by this. But there's a remnant. There are chosen people. Those that know the word, the voice of his Father, that love to be on the truth, to walk on the truth, and they don't conform with half-truths. Those that seek the true light of God, they know, because they know the voice of his pastor and his calling. So please stay with us. We are the body of Christ. We love our Father, our Savior, our Mother. That's the words of Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, and you see, I am starting now the new Reformation here. Jesus, referring to the Holy Spirit, not in Greek, but Hebrew, it talks about the feminine part of God, because men were made to the image of God, men, male and female. So God has a female part. That's the part that takes care of us, of all our days. And Jesus, on the Hebrew book of Matthew, is calling the Holy Spirit, in Greek, in our language, the Ruach HaKodesh. That means the Holy Spirit, but it's a feminine word in Hebrew. Okay? So in the Hebrew Aramaic Gospel of Matthew, the original one, Jesus, and they removed this. So was written there that after he is being baptized, the mother, his mother, the Ruach HaKodesh, took him to the desert to be tempted. So I am not blaspheming, as someone said, calling the Holy Spirit mother. God is my mother, God is my father, God is my uncle, God is everything in me. So don't be strange to these concepts, because I choose to speak the truth. So we'll be having some music here that I chose to these episodes, while I will call Brother Danny to join us. We will be talking, we will be passing some music, The first movie that I chose because I felt that was quite inspiration for this day from the Gladiator movie. It's not a worship song, but you see, that's another part of the Reformation. We must start seeing the beauty of God on not only in the things that talk about Him, because God is not egocentric. If He was egocentric, He would never choose to go to the cross. God spread His glory for the things that spread good values. And He blesses things that are not talking about only about Him. So this is a song from a movie called The Gladiator. I advise you to look for this movie because it has a good story and good message. And this music is called Now We Are Free. I chose it because it inspired me. Because I feel the blessing of God on this music. I feel free when I hear this music. And on the old system, religious system, we could not hear anything, only things from the church, see? But this is the new Reformation. This is not the half-Reformation of the Protestants. This is the new Reformation. This is a spiritual Reformation. We are free to feel God in the good things and to criticize the bad things they say that are from the church, they are from the God. We are free. I will be sharing with you a dream that God gave me on this week that inspired this program. It's for you to take it and to spread for those that need to be free. If you are feeling free now, you know God has called you to free another. So, if you are in a congregation, if you are in a church, don't come out empty. If you someday God will tell you to come out, do not be part of that. You will bring your reward, you will free another. I am not against churches, I am not against congregations. I am against the manipulations of the truth that are being spread amongst them. So, brothers and sisters, I welcome everybody, a big hug to everyone that are here, our fellows, our brothers in arms, the usual ones, Watcher, MB, Army, Right Brain, Mishus, and I know there are a lot of people that are hearing, spying this land. You are free, my brothers and sisters, don't be ashamed, join us. Here, there is only one that rules. It's the Ruach HaKodesh, our mother, our spiritual mother, that brings freedom. The Holy Spirit, as we know Him in our language. So, we will be right back. I will call Brother Danny, and we will start to talk about the new Reformation, that it's not for tomorrow. It has already started. It has already started. It has started, and you have to look not to the outside of this world. If you look for outside, you will be in darkness. Each day it passes, you will be more in darkness. You have to look for inside of you. Are you feeling the lightness of the Holy Spirit with these words? Are you feeling happiness? That's the new Reformation that is being done by the Holy Spirit. So, we'll be right back with our guest. Let's hear some another good music for this day. Bye-bye.
Oh, misty eye of the mountain below, keep careful watch of my brother's soul. And should the sky be filled with fire and smoke, keep watching over your sons. is to end in fire, then we shall all burn together. Watch the flames climb high into the night, calling out, Father, oh, stand by, and we will watch the flames burn over on the mountainside. Should die tonight, we should all die together. Raise a glass of wine for the last time. Calling out, Father, prepare as we will watch the flames burn over and on the mountainside. Desolation comes upon the sky. Now I see fire inside the mountain. I see fire burning the trees. And I see fire hollow in soul. I see fire blowing on the breeze. And I hope that you remember.
Okay.
We have our brother Danny already online. Brother Danny, can you hear me?
Yes. Do you hear me on this line, Brother Jose?
Yes, I am hearing fine. I think people there are hearing you too well, very well.
Okay, I had called you on my landline. That's what the confusion was. I'm sorry.
Don't need.
Sometimes
I have your
sometimes the cell phone gets interrupted. It's okay, as long as we don't get interrupted. We've had a couple of times where the cell phone gets interrupted, but it sounds okay. How you doing?
Okay, brother. I am fine, and you, brother?
Very good, thank you.
It's a pleasure again to have our great brother-in-arms, Brother Danny Morano, with us. please, 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 you people in America, if you want to hear truth, if you want to hear a man created, reformated by God, you need to know this man. You need to log in on his Blog Talk Radio called Let's Talk God Is Not Religious, because you will have good, good, pure meat for your spirit, for your soul, given from the Holy Father. Brother Danny, you are amongst the ranks of the Holy Army of the new Reformation that God is doing, already doing, producing in our modern days. Just like Daniel said, the incremental wisdom will be brought and we will do exploit while the world continues going darker. People are coming, and when they hear revival, talking about revival, they want to see miracles, they want to look for the outside, but they don't understand, because we were programmed to look for outside. But the real Reformation starts and cannot be made without a change from inside. Right, brother?
Amen. Absolutely, Brother Jose. Absolutely. You said that very well. And that's the, I think that's the sword that's coming down. Remember Jesus said, don't think that I've come to send peace as men understand peace. One of the leaders of that other movement, that ecumenical movement that you mentioned, always says we want to celebrate diversity, and he speaks of a peace on the outward. In other words, people unifying outwardly. But that's the deception, because when we unify outwardly, then we're unifying on things that have to do with the flesh. And we can agree on fleshly things. But the unity of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul talks about, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if your people want to look at that, where he talks about we have one body and one faith and one baptism and one Lord. He's not speaking about an ecumenism. In other words, he's not speaking about an outward joining together of religious institutions and religious structures. He's speaking about a unity that occurs mystically, okay, in the Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit who joins the members of the body together in unity. And this is what people have to understand, because that's where the deception is going. Well, it's not going to. It has already taken root in many who are calling themselves Christians today. But their Christianity is based on what I call a performance orientation. In other words, it's based on what they're doing outwardly. They're going to church. They're praising and worshiping. They're serving in a ministry. They're tithing. They're becoming members of this church institution or church structure or all these things that they're doing outwardly, you know, standing for causes. Even, you know, Paul talked about, the Apostle Paul talked about, even if I give all my goods away to feed the poor, you know, even if I allow my body to be burned and all these sacrificial things, if I don't have the love of God in my heart, which can only come from the Holy Spirit, then I am nothing, he said. I'm just like a big, loud, annoying noise in God's ears. And that's what we have going on in much of what we're calling the church today. It's like that clanging cymbal that Paul talked about, that annoying noise that's being made, but it's not sincere, it's not genuine, it's not coming from the heart of the worshiper, and it's not coming from the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well? And she she wanted to have a debate about whether the Samaritan's religion was right, or the Jews' religion was right. And Jesus said, listen, let's scrap all that. Let's put all that to the side. I tell you this, that a day is coming when God will not be worshipped in those temples and God will not be worshipped up on the mountain, but they who will worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I believe that that's what this new Reformation is about right now, is that the Holy Spirit is confronting his people, his true people, with that truth. The fellowship of the church, the true church, and we always speak about this in our teaching, who is the church? We are the church. Who is the temple of God? We are the temple of God. We are the building of God. We are the sanctuary of God. We are the dwelling place of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in the spirit and the being of the believer. So the Holy Spirit is bringing that truth back to the body and saying, stop putting your allegiance and your loyalty and your focus on this outward counterfeit structure that man is calling the church, that was hijacked by Satan and his fallen angels and his human agents who are serving him. Like Paul said, that Satan is an angel of light, so why would his false ministers not appear like ministers of righteousness? And that's what they've done. They've created this false structure. And the thing is, you mentioned the initial Protestant Reformation. Well, as I always tell the people, yes, the original protest against that Roman Catholic system had a lot of great elements, and it was the beginning of departing from the image of the beast, from departing from the spirit of Antichrist, and departing from the false prophet, the whore of Babylon. Okay, there are many names and designations that the scripture gives this beast, but we know what it is. It sits on seven hills in the middle of Europe. Okay, they made their initial protest, and they stepped away from many of the false sacraments, the idolatry of worshiping saints, the perversion of what you just talked about, which I thought was very good. And I think it's interesting, Jose, that you bring this point out about the feminine side of the Lord, because if you think about it, Satan is always trying to, he's always trying to copy God, but then pervert it, right, or twist it. So that's what he's done with this Madonna, right? I mean, basically, Satan has removed the Holy Spirit from the equation and replaced it with this Madonna, with this female goddess, okay? So that's why you see in the Roman Catholic Church, you have the Pope, okay? You have this false Jesus, which we know really to be Tammuz or Nimrod or Apollo, or, you know, he's been called a million different things throughout the ages. And you have the Madonna, okay, supposedly the Virgin Mary. So you have a demonic false trinity there represented. Yeah, like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the Protestant Reformation made a good beginning by breaking away from this idolatry of Mary worship and the idolatry of worshiping the saints and many of the rituals, the Eucharist, the doctrine of transubstantiation, where they believe that that wafer or that bread and that wine becomes mystically, literally, the body and blood of Jesus. And we know that that's witchcraft. That is not what the scripture teaches. So the Protestant reformers, they rebelled against all that, as well as doctrines like purgatory and limbo and all these other things. And the premise that salvation comes only through the Holy Roman Catholic Church or the Roman Empire, and that it's through works, through observing the rituals and ceremonies and the sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church. So the Protestant Reformation said these things are all wrong, And they walked away, and they paid a heavy, heavy price for that. Many of them were hunted down, persecuted, and even martyred. And they started, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, new movements that were birthed from the Spirit of God and based on the Scripture. Okay, their anthem was Sola Scriptura, which means we only follow the Scriptures. In Latin, Sola Scriptura means we're only following the Scriptures. So that was all great. But again, like Paul says in the Word, we see through a glass darkly. We prophesy in part. We never have the full picture. The Holy Spirit is always giving us more and more light all the time. Well, all that light God gave them, and that was a lot of light for those couple of generations. But some of the heresy and apostasy and the very concept of this counterfeit church structure, the reformers didn't have the revelation of having to let go of that. And they rebuilt structures again. Okay, now these structures didn't have a bunch of idols in them, didn't have all the idolatry and the rituals and ceremony and blasphemies of the Roman Catholic structures, but it retained this false structure, and they still saw this structure as the church. They still saw themselves needing to go to church. Okay, church was still a place, and that place was holy, and that place was sanctified, and God dwelt in that place, okay, a structure, a building, a denomination, whatever it is. And to this day, we have retained that false understanding the church is. And this is false. We've also retained what I call the clergy-laity distinction. In other words, we still have, even in the Reformed churches, those churches that came out of this Protestant Reformation, we still have a professional priesthood in force. In other words, we don't call it priesthood, we call it pastorate. We have pastors, we have elders, we have presbyters, we have bishops, we have different names, okay? But these are professional ministers, okay? And we understand that to mean that they have been especially called by God to do the work of the ministry. They are what we call the clergy, which comes from the same word of cleric, which we got from the Roman Catholic system. Okay, the Roman Catholic clerics, they were the scribes. Mm-hmm. In the Middle Ages, they were the only ones who were educated. The clerics, they could read and they could write. That's how we came to call them the clergy. Then we have the laity, or what we call in modern language, the congregation. And the laity or the congregation, in the time of the Roman Catholic system's height, and even at the beginning of the Protestant Reformation, these were mainly illiterate people, people who could not read and write. And so therefore, they needed the priesthood, or they needed the pastorate, to teach them audibly and translate for them the Scriptures. And some of the services, the worship services, were even still performed in Latin, even in the Protestant Reformation. So the people were still divided, separated from the Word of God, and they saw this church building as the church, and they saw this pastorate or professional priesthood as the ones who were selected by God to do the work of the ministry. Well, this is all wrong, according to Scripture. This is not what the Scripture teaches. And I encourage your listeners to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, where we get this whole concept that we're preaching these days of a fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Read those scriptures and see what they say. They say that these are functions, gifts. These men are gifts that God has put into his body, the church, the mystical body of Christ, the people, the church, in order to equip the saints, that means all the believers, to do the work of the ministry. So it's the believers who are supposed to do, the congregation, the laity, whatever word you want to use, the people out in the audience, so to speak, in the churches, they're the ones who are supposed to be doing the work of the ministry. The servant love functions, as I call them, okay, what others are calling the fivefold ministry, this professional priesthood, we're supposed to just be equipping and motivating and supporting and serving the body of believers and helping them to come to maturity so they can do the Lord's work, okay? So that's what this new Reformation is about. The Lord is saying, okay, you came so far through this first Reformation. Great, good job. But that was 500 years ago, guys. And 500 years later, you still haven't grasped this truth that the first church in the first century of the church knew and understood, which is that we are the church, we are the body, the people, we house the Holy Spirit. And it's not about a building or a structure or an institution. And in fact, that building, structure, and institution is a counterfeit that Satan began to construct already within the second generation of the church's existence, where these bishops started to become central to the church's identity, okay? And slowly but surely, we come into the beginning of the fourth century, where Constantine, the Roman emperor, Satan brings it all the way through by inspiring Constantine to officially recognize Christianity as the religion of the Roman Empire, and that's when we got this whole complete structure, and these cathedrals started to be built, and these ceremonies which were translated or whitewashed and brought over from the Roman Empire and just made into religious observances, many of them coming from the cults and temples of the Romans, and they took those practices and just made them into Christian practices and observances and rituals, just like they took the Greek philosophers and the gods of the Nephilic gods of mythology and translated that and made them the saints in the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, and they took Nimrod, okay, that Nephilim ruler of Babylon, and who was translated eventually into the Roman emperor, who was seen as God on earth, right? And you had that tradition going all the way back to the Pharaoh in Egypt, God on earth. And now he just put on a different outfit, and he became Pontifex Maximus. He became the pontiff. He became the pope. The Roman emperor now became the pope, which is God on earth, or the representative of God on earth, okay? But that's really coming from Nimrod. And we have his mother, wife, okay, this incestuous perversion that Satan created in the original Babylon, this Semiramis, who later was called Isis, Diana of Ephesus, Ishtar, Astarte, Esther, on and on and on. All these different names and things that she's been translated into, but it's all the same figure, the goddess of the heavens. Okay, we have it now in our modern nations too. Lady Liberty in France, which was sent over here as the Statue of Liberty, that represents the same goddess. Is that false member of what you talked about, the feminine side of God, representing the third part of the Trinity. So all that is still there, and the Lord says, hey, you've done well, you let go of those other things, but now it's time to let go of this whole false structure. And that's where we're at today, Brother Jose.
Right, brother. That's a very, very insightful starting for this table that God has brought us today. Because I was trying not to forget some notes that you imprinted in me while I was hearing you. You see, brother, you talked so much truth in so few words that let me emphasize some of them. You talk about the external peace. You see, some months ago, before, we have seen in all the papers on the world, in all the mainstream media, the Pope side by side with the Palestinian rulers and the Israeli ruler trying, making the peace. You see, that's the results with what we are seeing.
Yes.
This is the peace that this system, this failed Christian, this false Christian representative, this father of the church, is bringing to this world. Bombs,
yes.
Missiles falling to Israel, falling to the Palestinian children. This is the result of the false spirituality that Satan is making from 2,000 years from the birth and the resurrection of Christ. You see, I will try to bring more insight about the question of the Madonna.
Okay.
All the church fathers from Eusebius, it's very, very easy for you to check. I can put some links here for you to check this, that this is the works, this is the written works of Eusebius, okay? The church history, this is not mine, this is documented, it's on the net, okay? It's on PDF, you can read by yourself. This is historical. They talk about the truth. They knew about this Hebrew gospel. They were written in Hebrew for the Hebrew ones. Okay? These are the original ones. And they removed. They were forced to remove all the truth about the Ruach HaKodesh being a feminine part of God because they were compromised with the patronautical cults, occult, of the Holy Roman Empire. They could not bring all this truth because there was no more place for the Madonna. They could not deceive the people. And this is work of Satan. We have bringing for our houses, even being Protestants, saying that we are not Catholics, even Protestants, they didn't make all the reformation because they were compromised with powers of this world. You think Luther would survive if he was not compromised with the kings of Germany, with the kings of those that want to be free from the tyranny of the Pope? He had to negotiate. So this is an answer for our listener, Harney of One. He asked, wonder why the reformers didn't see past those rituals, why they still making these rituals. Because they could not be free, completely free, even Luther, even Calvinists. They were compromised with the powers of this world. It was a process that it was not ended, but God wants to end it now. God has brought the foundings of the lost documents. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, there you see they were written in Hebrew, not in Greek. These people, they wrote in Hebrew, in Aramaic, and when you heard that the Gospels were only written in Greek, it's a lie. It's a lie because they didn't want you to find the truth, and the truth is that church was never meant to be the intermediary between God and the man. Church is the body that should be only an instrument for making people disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, not from the church. You are not making flowers of Danny. I am not making flowers of destroying fortress, strongholds, ministry. This will end here. But my soul, I hope that it will be eternal. It will be kept in Christ. It is there that we will find each other. But all the instruments, all the works will be here, will stay here. But they didn't make all the Reformation, because even the church fathers, they were afraid of losing their heads if they talk about these gospels. But they left some clues for us, and God is bringing. Now you can read the book of Enoch. Now you can read the book of Joshua. But in those days, you had to learn Latin to have accesses with those and other books. And that those, they had access, they were forced to hide it from you and me and our ancestors. But now we are living in another time, my brother and sister. You can do by yourself because God has brought you. But God will not do what you can do. Go check on the net the history of the church. Go check how they lied to us. Even Eusebius, even Jerome says, when he translated to the Vulgata, to the Latin Bible, about Lucifer, that Lucifer was not on the Hebrew language. Lucifer should be translated as the light bringer. But he chose Lucifer because there was a contest amongst bishops on that day. There was a Lucifer that was a bishop in Rome called Lucifer that was accepting the Gnostics' teachings. And that's the other part of the narrow road that we must have to be careful. Because if the system is one side of the narrow road, the other system is the emptiness of the agnostic God that has no face, that it's not the Jewish Messiah, that is only a force, that is a universal force. You must understand that in both sides of this narrow road, and you must be wise, and only by the grace of the Holy Spirit, your mother, your spiritual mother, the Ruach HaKodesh, God will take care of you. If you are humble to see, I must follow Jesus the Christ, not the man. Don't follow me, don't follow Danny, because we are not unstable. But Jesus is. What the Protestants have left to us, it was the light enough to guide us to the person of Jesus Christ, to the personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, not with the Madonna, not with the Pope, not with the pastor, not with the congregation. It's you. You know, my brother, Danny, if I tell you, I know that you believe me. But there are a lot of people who don't understand. Do you know where God most talked to me? You will not believe if I say. Maybe you will. When everybody's inside, when I have nobody around me, and it is on the shower, when I'm shaving, when nobody is around me, that's when God brings his voice to me. Talk about this. Do this. You see? Because we are being distracted by this world. This world is full of distractions for you to steal your time to your Holy Father. To steal your time, what Jesus has taught you. Go to your room, close your door, and you will find me there. That's completely the opposite of what we are being taught on the system, on the Christian profound system, that we must be together, we must be raising our voices, we must be shouting revivals and hearing the good dressed ones, servants of God, because they are better than us. They are most Christian than we are. Jesus died more for the tithes and the good suits than for those that are poor. Please wake up, my brothers and sisters. The new Reformation starts with us. Even the Protestants, that they brought some light to our lives. They did not the full service. That's what Brother Dan is trying to reach you. They didn't because they knew if they did, you would be independent. You would become servant of Christ. You would not be dependable of them. And they need to have numbers to make the publicity, to confront the old armies. But they felt on the same trap as the Catholics. They felt the same satanic trap. Half truth contains half lie. And that's enough for Satan accusing before God these servants. And God is fair. I give you the truth. Brother Danny gives you the truth for free. But you have to walk it. You have to love it. You have to embrace it. You have to spread it. You cannot be as those servants that they hide the talent. Because God will bring you to judgment for that. God will ask for your servant. What have you done with my son? What have you done with the truth? You have checked on the book of Enoch. You have checked on the book of Jasher, all the truth. There is a 12 testaments called the testaments of the 12 patriarchs. They didn't let us know this. But thanks to God, here is the link. You will read any one of the sons of Jacob that died, the 12 tribes, they have left us some teaching, some lesson for us. Each life of these patriarchs, Judah, Reuben, Joseph, they have left lessons for us. And you will see, you will hear about the fallen angels. You will hear about the lust of the flesh. Why was this book stolen from the church? They were on the Armenic church until the century, 14th century, they were there. Why they didn't steal these books? Because they don't want us to give all the truth. Because they don't want you to be free. But Jesus wants you. Read it and take it to God. Because do not be more programmed by that language. That's the software of the program. The inspirational scriptures is this one. These are not ones. Look, for me, there are only two things about what I read. Or it is completely true, or it is completely BS. You see, inspiration. Let me ask something for you. And I hope that Brother Danny can answer me this. When Paul, writing the Corinthians epistle, that he was praising himself, and suddenly he stopped and reproves himself, what was the spirit that was inspiring Paul to praising himself? Jesus, what did Jesus talk about the scriptures? They contain in themselves eternal life, or it's only in the divinity of Christ? So, the Protestant Reformation showed us the map, and then he followed on the same trap. They become free from the tyranny of the man, and Satan deceives them with the scriptures, with the tyranny of the scriptures. For me, yeah, there is only one thing that is eternal. It's the Jewish Messiah God that was made flesh, called Yahushua, in our language, Jesus the Christ. This is the eternity. To know him, to know the Father as the only God, and to know him as the one who was sent by the Father. This is the eternal life, and this is scripture. Brother Danny, can you comment this?
Yes, absolutely. Before I get into that, I just wanted to confirm something. You brought up the testaments of the patriarchs, and it's very interesting that they also confirm Enoch as inspired scripture. And this is how you can see the trend of the spirits working. You know, in a couple of the testaments, I believe it's Reuben and Levi, if I'm not mistaken, they refer, first of all, to the teaching about the fallen watchers, and also they even speak about Enoch and how in the book of Enoch, Jerusalem is central in the writings and revealed. So this is how, when people are asking us about inspiration and how we can track inspiration, true scripture confirms itself. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to take you down this journey that Brother Jose is talking about, by faith, and you don't need to be afraid. And the reason why people are afraid is because they really haven't come to know the Holy Spirit intimately.
Right.
And if you come to know him intimately and believe that he is leading you, then you can trust him. Jesus said this when he was preaching on the earth. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow." So we have that assurance from the Lord that if we are really his, if he has really bought us and called us and given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that he's not going to allow us to be led into error and falsehood if our hearts are truly seeking him. Now, if our hearts are diverted, okay, distracted, as Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower, by the lusts of the world and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and other interests entering in, which are worldly, then that's different. Then we can be deceived and taken off course, and we'll seek out the wrong things. But if we are truly seeking the Lord, and we want to know him intimately, and we want to follow him, and we want to learn his revelation, the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. And it's interesting because you can see a common a link in all of us that are on this road. For instance, Jose and I, we have not known each other. We've only known each other for a couple of months. We've never even met face to face. And yet the Holy Spirit has led him down the same type of road that he's led me. See, that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives. That you're over there on a completely different continent, speaking a different language, coming from a completely different religious and cultural background. None of that makes any difference because it's the same Holy Spirit who's leading you and guiding you to these sources as the same Holy Spirit that's leading and guiding me to those sources. Okay? Now, I always tell the people that it's very curious that these particular revelatory resources, books like Enoch and Jubilees and these other things that we're starting to mention, it's very curious that they were kept out, and it's very curious what their focus is. A lot of these books focus very strongly on the inner workings of the satanic kingdom and how it works. Now, if you were Satan, would you want that information out there? No, you would not. That would be the first type of information that you would want to get away from the people, and especially from the people who are in the ministry who are teaching others. You would not want them to have that revelation. You would want to give them false light so that they could reflect your error, your heresy, and your apostasy. And that's what Satan did. And you're absolutely correct that, you know, it's the bottom line is these movements all start out. The Holy Spirit moves in men's hearts, and the movements start out somewhat pure with men who really are seeking God and want to find the truth and find the right way and get to know God more intimately, more personally, and go back to the true and pure roots of things. But unfortunately, what happens is we do die. And when we die, others pick up they pick up the mantle, so to speak, or they pick up the baton, and they start to run with it. And they start to organize now into fleshly structures, and man starts to be in control again. And that's what we have. Look, we've seen it now in the modern day. Look at this charismatic movement and this Pentecostal movement that started out in the beginning of the 20th century as a wild movement, okay, a totally free movement. These were people that were in denominational churches, these Protestant churches, and it also even people came out of the Roman Catholic Church and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this was a movement, a fresh movement. But eventually what happened? They organized as other men. Satan always manages to send other men in through a side door that seem to have organizational skills, administrative skills, whatever you want to call it, to organize these movements into a structure. And as soon as they organize this movement into a structure, it starts to die spiritually. And I believe that that happened, Jose, in the very first church. I mean, if you look at it, if you study the early church history, you'll see the progression of, I mean, the first church started off on fire, full of the Spirit. They were not so concerned about organization and structure and meeting places, and there were no titles and positions. The apostles were merely giving the revelation, and the prophets were walking in the revelation, and the evangelism was going on, and the true church fellowship planting was occurring, and on and on and on. But as it got into the second generation of the church, the third generation, all of a sudden, Satan got in there and started to exalt man. He tempted man, that same old temptation of pride, to get man to stand up and say, I am the leader. Remember, the Apostle John was angry about this already in the letters that he wrote that we have in the New Testament. He says, Diotrephes resisted me, yeah, and he wants to be the preeminent one amongst the brothers. See, that Nicolaitan spirit, that spirit of that rises up in carnal man that wants to rule over others, that spirit that Jesus said he hated. He said, I don't want you to be like the heathen. I don't want you to lord it over others. He who would be the greatest among you must be his servant and must be the servant of all. Well, that gets lost all the time.
Right.
That always ends up getting lost, and man resorts back to structure, back to form, back to organization and institutionalism, and the spirit gets quenched, the spirit gets grieved, and the spirit eventually gets pushed out. I mean, you'll notice as you get into the second and third centuries of the first church, you don't hear about the Holy Spirit very much anymore. You don't hear about the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't hear about healing and deliverance and all these things that you heard about in the first church. And the same thing has happened now, Brother Jose. I don't know how it is over there. I'm sure it's probably very similar. You know, a couple of decades ago when I first came into the faith and I went into these Pentecostal and charismatic churches, the emphasis was still very strong on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy, and people were speaking in tongues, and you know, there was healing and there was deliverance. Look at these churches today. They've gotten organized again and they've become structures, and now they don't want to offend. And they don't want to be looked at as fanatics and weirdos and radicals. So they begin to quench the spirit. And the thing is this, they're becoming like those Gnostics of old that you mentioned. What we have in the modern counterfeit church today, okay, what we call the church out there, is a Gnostic gospel, a gospel of the mind. And that's why they can agree on it, even to the point of inviting Islam into it and inviting other inviting the Roman Catholics back in and any other faith. They can all agree because it's a religion of the mind. Okay, you call God this, we call God that, they call God something else. It doesn't matter. We all agree there's a God. You talked about it very good one time, Brother Jose, when you talked about synthesis, right? You talked about the fact that you have one extreme here and another extreme on the other side. And the goal of the devil is not to land on any of those extremes, but to land in the middle on a synthesis. And that's what we have going on in this ecumenical movement now. You got extremes out there, the extreme of Roman Catholicism, the extreme of charismatic Pentecostalism, the extreme of Islam, you know, the extreme of this kind of seeker-friendly, very, very soft-pedaling Joel Osteen-type school of things. But they're striking a synthesis, the extreme of the prosperity movement, the Word of Faith movement, but they're meeting at a synthesis where they all agree. Oh, well, we all believe that God is good. We all believe that God is love. We all believe that God doesn't want to judge. We all believe that God doesn't want to hurt us. We all believe that God wants to fix the world. So they agree on that outward stuff, but they're agreeing on error and falsehood and what we call heresy and apostasy. So we have to come to know the true Lord. And that true Lord, like you said, brother, that true Lord is met in that quiet time, what we used to call quiet time. We used to talk about that when I first came into the faith, you know, that you have your quiet time with the Lord. But see, people can't handle quiet anymore. People can't handle quiet. Sit down with a group of people and just be quiet and see how long it can last. See if people have the self-discipline to just be quiet. I've done it before where I said, oh, let's just be quiet for a minute. Let's let the Lord speak. Someone always has to speak up. Someone always has to say something or start singing some silly religious song, or they feel the Lord wants them to prophesy, or they need to speak out in tongues. We're so conditioned to be running our mouths and to hear noise. We can't. There's an insecurity that comes into our hearts when it's quiet. Why is that? Because we're not at peace in our hearts. And we want the noise to distract us, because when it gets too quiet, we might hear from God. And we might hear from God something we don't want to hear. Right? So we keep singing these songs, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. And then we have the announcements. And then the pastor's daughter gets up and gives her testimony. And then we have Brother Elder so-and-so who's going to talk about the men's meeting. And then we have this and that. And then the pastor gets up and entertains us for 30, 40 minutes. And then we have a time of greet one another. But when is there ever quiet? And do people practice that quiet in their own lives? Well, if I got the TV running, if I got the computer on, if I got my music playing, if I got, you know, and the devil has done this on purpose. The devil has done this. He is the expert of distraction. He knows how to cause distraction. And if he can keep us in motion, keep us in motion, keep us in motion. That's what the cults do. You know that, right, Brother Jose? That's one of the greatest tricks that the cults use, is they keep the people busy, 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 busy. They get them so tired that they can't think for themselves. And the people just then, ultimately in their weariness, they just rely on the word of the cult leader. You see? So our churches have become the same thing. What we're calling churches have become the same thing. They got the people busy running this ministry, that ministry, the other ministry, and this ministry, and that ministry. But do these people know God who are doing all these ministries? Have they really come to know the Lord? Are they intimate with the Holy Spirit? Have they learned the Word of God? Do they take time to meditate on the truths of the word? Even meditate on their experiences, Brother Jose. Because, you know, God uses our experiences and our circumstances as well. And he wants us to meditate on those things. But we're so busy that we allow the devil to steal that wonderful, peaceful intercourse that we should be having with the Lord.
Right. And Brother Danny, you have mentioned something that is important to emphasize. Again, the Holy Spirit is conducting the people to know the truth, and that's why he emphasizes this. He brings this to the middle of the conversation.
Yeah.
Important for you and for me and for those that are seeking a way out of the system to understand. And we will go deep on the second hour now about this, to understand the power of the language, the power of the words, okay? And this is being brought by those that are coming from the other side of the war, from the satanic witchcraft. They know what is the power of the word, okay? And people are bringing some truths that the satanic people, they know these mysteries. And we the sheep, we are learning now. We are learning now. You know the origin of the word. I have talked about this. The origin of the word in English called church. That is the word they replaced the body of Christ. Okay, it should be body of Christ, assembly of God, not church. It comes from a Greek profane godness called Circe. Circe. That was a godness that transformed people in pigs. If I have put the link there, but you can check by yourself. Church never wants to meant to be the assembly of God. In the Hebrew, in the Aramaic book of Matthew on that scripture, when God talks about the building of his church, it's not church there on the original. It's assembly. Assembly there is a circle with a center, and the center is Christ. Church, it's a circus. It's a circus. It's a circle. They are playing with us, with the world, you see. And you go there, you see all the lights, the false lights, all the noise. But there are no the real Messiah there, because he has been replaced by all the tricks that Satan is using. First by the Pope, then by the books manipulated by them, then by, again, the power of the church, the Reformation church, that they must use these ties, they must transparent the outside look of a great holiness, but inside they are graves, full of bones, full of skeletons. That's why there are so many scandals, because they are looking for the outside. And you people that are being conducted to a lot of blog talk shows there, they only talk about destruction, what is coming, the power of the enemy, and the power of this. These reporters called Christians, you know, do you distinguish the real Christians' vigilance, the real vigilance of men, the real watchers, if they spread the hope of the Holy Spirit when they speak?
Amen.
If you end a show with a phrase without hope, you better believe that these people, consciously or unconsciously, are being used by Satan to spread fear and guilty in yourself. They are distracting you. And maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't know, because the real servants of God, they only hear and follow the voice of his master. And he said, this will be the beginnings of the pain of the sorrows.
Yes.
But you do not go read what Jesus said for this day. Do not be afraid, because He is in you. If He is in you, He will protect you. Maybe you will lose your car. Maybe you will lose your good suit. Maybe you lose all extra baggage that you have in your life that was not given by the Father. But you will not lose your soul. So please, Brother Danny, I want to share in a few minutes with you and with the listeners a dream that God gave me this week that inspired me to call you to bring you to the show. But let's make a pause here to hear some song, because I need to drink some water. And I know this is heavy, and people must keep, and we must give him time to think what they are hitting, okay? So
yes,
in 7-8 minutes, we'll be right back, and I will share with you what God has given. Be right back.
Each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much, feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness, gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the witness of men. Cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world. Millions of despairing men, women, and children, victims of a system that makes men torture.
covered up by mercy's hand. A better view where you stand. The doorway to another land.
Amen. We're back. Before I call Brother Danny again, I bring Brother Danny again, I will share with you a direction that we have received from the Holy Spirit, because when you are used to know when God talks to you, it's very easy for us to be conducted by the Holy Spirit. You, with time, you learn to distinguish between some dreams that are produced by our own imagination and those things that come on from the mind of Christ, okay? So what I will share with you is the foundation of the new Reformation, okay, of this program, of the things that Brother Danny and so much other Christian people are feeling now by the Holy Spirit. And it's with urgency that I am bringing this dream here, because I want you to take it to the Lord and to ask the Lord, what is my role in this? If you are hearing this program and I am seeing, thanks God, new listeners here, you are all welcome. I hope that you feel that you are in the right place with the right brothers. Brothers in arms, okay? We are not those that are afraid of the world. We are here to take people from this world, to conquer souls and place them on the holy grounds of our Father. For that we must be prepared, because it's a war. Okay? On the night of Monday, Tuesday, I had a dream where I was seeing several sheep. They were tied to stables, wooden stables, like boxes. And they were tied with ropes. And they could not even move, could not, they were not able to finger. They were just there, they were being fed, but they were prisoners. And suddenly someone opened the door of that stable and start appearing some wolves, black wolves, and savage tigers and lions entering that stable where there were that boxes with the sheep. And what I saw made me awake almost in tears, because I saw those tigers and those wolves simply devouring the tied sheep. Simply was a massacre. They were attacked without defense. Were attacked behind and was a mess. And God woke me and said, I don't want this to happen to my sheep on that place. Go, talk this dream on the program, and I will make the rest. You know, my brother and sister, it's your role to warn them. It's your word as a watcher to warn them, to tell them you can be free. Do not imprison yourself on that tie, on that wooden box. And the wooden, it's a symbol of the man that people construct to people. Those prison, spiritual prison camps that enslaves so many lives, seducting them with his own dreams, preaching the gospel they want to hear. It's your role in this war to love the truth and take it for those that need to be free. God will bring these people for you, your neighborhood, for you in the precise moment. Give them the freedom they need to hear. There is a way. It's a narrow road, but it's safe. Do not enslave yourself. Do not stay there, because the tigers and the wolves are loose, are being loose in that stable. Brother Danny, I hope that you heard this. Can you comment on this, please?
Yes, brother, that is a very, very powerful message from the Lord. I was really moved by it while I was listening to you share it, and it just, my heart is breaking when I think of God's precious people being set up. I really do believe that. I really do believe that God's people, or those who think they're God's people, are being set up to be devoured. And the scripture tells us that that's the devil's job. And you mentioned tigers and lions and wolves. And the Apostle Paul writes to us, and he tells us that that's, well, I'm sorry, the Apostle Peter writes in his letter and says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's why the scripture, he all goes on to say, submit to the Lord and flee the devil. You know, and flee from right. Those false things, right? As you were explaining the vision, I also think that the stable is very significant in your dream. I think the stable is representing what we, by the Holy Spirit's revelation and impartation, are tearing down with the teachings that we're bringing. This stable is the container. Could that stable represent this counterfeit church that we're talking about? That these sheep believed they were supposed to come into where they would find sanctuary. They would be safe and protected from these beasts. Right? Think about that for a minute. They went into the sanctuary. They went into the stable. They went into the environment that was familiar to them, that they believed the farmers cared for them and wanted to take care of them, and yet they were bound, just like many quote-unquote Christians today. I have it every day, Jose, and I'm sure you receive it too from people. Can a Christian have a demon? Yes, a Christian can have a demon. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, when we come to the revelation of being born again and even receiving the Holy Spirit and starting to walk with Christ, this is the beginning of deliverance. This is the beginning of freedom and liberation. It's not, and that's another lie that the devil has sold to the false church, that everything happens all at once. There's this amazing, invisible, quiet transformation that occurs through saying the sinner's prayer or whatever. And all the demons are gone, and, you know, we're completely perfect. That's nonsense. That's not the case at all. So I think that this stable represents this false counterfeit system, this institution, the structure that we're addressing. And isn't it a tragedy to think that the thing that is being called the body of Christ, the church, the house of God, may actually be the slaughterhouse for those who are going to be martyred for their faith. All right? Well, if we read the book of Revelation, I mean, it lines right up with it. We read about the whore of Babylon in chapter 17 of Revelation. What is she holding in her hand? She's holding a cup with blasphemous titles and names and things all over it. And it says that that cup is full and overflowing with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs, and she's drunk on it. That's that counterfeit church system. That's that mother whore and all her daughters, and that's what we're talking about. You know, this mother whore system in Rome and all the daughters that rebelled against her 500 years ago but now are coming back to her is represented in that picture in Revelation. And, you know, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing, for on the outward they appear to be calm, peaceful, loving, docile sheep. But inwardly, he says, they are ravenous wolves. And that's what we have in our stables, people. Okay, that's what we have in our stables. And think about it. And, Jose, I know you can relate to this because you're tearing all this stuff down when it comes to the historical accuracy of things. This whole talk about Jesus being born in a stable, in a manger, right, amongst the animals, all right, this whole Christ's Mass thing, this whole Christmas thing. Think about that. This false structure, this stable of Satan that is being called the church is corralling. I think I said this, I don't know whose program it was. Maybe it was our brother Paul in Acts chapter 17. I said, it's, you know, these Christians that want to build these communities and, you know, get weapons and protect themselves and everything. It's like Satan is corralling all the sheep into a barn. I even used that illustration, Brother Jose. I said it's like Satan is corralling all these sheep into the barn, and then he locks the barn door and he sets the barn on fire. And I think that's what's going on here. I think through this false ecumenical movement that we're watching right now, where these stables are coming together, okay, the Roman Catholic stable, the Orthodox stable, the Protestant stable, the mosque stable, and on and on and on, joining forces, and they're binding the sheep. How are they binding the sheep? Well, through seducing spirits, right? That's your wolves in sheep's clothing, these false ministers, yeah, that appear like docile, loving, kind, politically correct sheep, but underneath their disguise, they're ravenous wolves. They're the seducing spirits that are drawing the sheep into the barn, and through the doctrines of demons, they're being bound up and tied up. So they're captives in this stable, in this false church system, in this counterfeit church. And then those same wolves in sheep's clothing take off their disguise and they open the barn doors and they invite all the other beasts of the apocalypse to come in and to devour the sheep.
Right.
And people think they're running somewhere into safety, but they're actually running in to be slaughtered. And it's interesting because I had a prophetic word given to me a couple years ago, Brother Jose, that speaks of the same thing, but from the opposite side of the coin, perhaps. In the vision, it was an island. And on that island, there were a bunch of houses, okay? And those houses were burning up. They were set on fire and they were falling down and people were running out of these houses. And they were running toward a lighthouse. Okay, and that for me represented the exodus from this counterfeit church. That people are running out of this counterfeit church system. And they're running toward the lighthouse of the true Christ, the true Word of God, the true Holy Spirit, and the true ministry of the church, okay? On that same island, there were those who had run out of these buildings that were rescuing people from the ferocious waves of the sea and drawing them out from drowning in the sea or being eaten by sharks in the sea, pulling them up onto the rocks and nursing them. And I think that that's what we're headed into. And I think these visions that the Lord has given us are very, very important, very crucial. I believe they're absolutely from Him. And I believe that we need to hear this. And we need to shout this from the housetops. And I think, brother, I think it would be great if you would, I don't know if you've done it yet, but I would encourage you to publish that on your website and put it out there as a vision in written form. And if you would like to, we would also post that on our website. People need to hear this vision because this is exactly what's going on right now. The sheep are being corralled to be slaughtered.
Brother Danny, I understand the way you think about these things that God gave us, but for experience, because I come from a church where they ended all in the trials of this world because they despise the things of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I think that these precious gems that God gave us by His Holy Spirit, for those that love the truth, you see, Jesus warned us not to give the pearls to the swine.
Yeah.
Because a swine, they will not give value to these gems, you see. This is for the ones that have the fear of the Lord inside of them. This is for the ones that they do not conform themselves with the profane Christian system. These are the ones that are here, or they are coming to the archives to take to the other ones. And this gem is for the family. It's for the family. You see, I can put on the blog, you can put on your blog, that you will see that there will be coming people to say that you are lying, you are inventing by yourself,
Yeah.
It doesn't work. They don't have the spirit. They don't have the fear of the Lord. You see, they are compromised with their comfort zones, with the helpings that gives you a good bank account in the end. They are compromised with the tithing system, you see, and they will attack the gems that God gives us. So I quit to put these things because this is, belongs to the intimacy of the new Reformation. It's for those that are intimate with the Holy Spirit. These people that are here, they hear, they keep it in their hearts, and in the right moment, they will share with the right person that and will give the fruit, you see? But the world will not hear. The world will attack this precious gem that God gave us. By the way, the lighthouse that you have seen, some of our brothers that we raised together with the Lord here, they have been the same vision that you had. A big white light, a big white lighthouse above a great rock over the seas of this world, pointing the world, pointing the light. And that rock, that lighthouse that is built on the rock is Jesus and their true worship.
Yes.
That's the light of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So it's all the same Spirit working for those that love the truth. You have done your way. You have done your part. I am doing my part. And people, each one of you, must make the decision. I will not save you. Brother Danny will not save you if you don't want to be saved, if you don't want to be spared for this treacherous system that enslaves you in a fake comfort zone just to be attacked when you least expect it from behind. And they lose the lion inside of them. They are already there. People are trying to find the Antichrist. It's coming from the Turkey. It's coming from Syria. It's coming. Look for your life. Look for your congregation. Look for your family. He's inside there, killing, destroying your faith, distracting you with fear. The Antichrist was operating in the Bible times when Paul wrote the epistle. You think he is sleeping now? Rather than we have 1.5 minute long, some quick announcement, some quick word to just to say goodbye. This time flies when we are together.
Amen, brother. I enjoy it so much to be on with you. I love your insight. I love your humble spirit. And it just rings out so genuine. And, you know, I'm so glad have you part of our family. And, you bring balance to us, Brother Jose. You bring balance to keep us really looking at Christ and not trying to do things the way the world does. And people, this is
tomorrow
where we're
you
at.
Have Brother Augusto with you, right?
Yes, we have Brother Augusto Perez tomorrow night on our show, which is it airs from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States. I don't know what that time is for you over there, but we'll have Brother Augusto with us, and that's always a great show. We always get into a great fellowship, very similar to what Jose and I have. Also this evening, I'm going to be joining the Hagmans again for a special program with their reporter, Sheila Zielinski, has asked me to come on. And we're going to be on from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States. And I believe they're going to be 2 hours before myself, where they're going to have a couple of other guests. I think Steve Quayle is going to be on and stuff. And then I'm going to come on at 10 o'clock. So I'll be on from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Hagman & Hagman. It's called the Weekend Vigilante Report, I believe it's called. So you can look that up on
Today,
Blog
right?
Talk. Yes, tonight.
Okay.
And visit our website, please. GodIsNotReligious.net.
Amen. Brother Danny, thank you again. We will join again soon. It's a pleasure. The time flies when we are together, but it's always a pleasure and an honor to have you amongst us. God bless you and Bambi. God bless you all, brother. See you later. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.